Turn to Mark 3, please. Oh, wow, it's great to be here tonight. Praise the Lord, amen. Let's see if I, in the Lord, let's see, teenage, okay. Is Christ interesting? Is Christ enjoyable? Is Christ like out of the box? Is Christ living? Is Christ the answer for my life? Is Christ what teenagers need? I want to introduce the theme with teenagers in a minute. I turn to Mark 3. We'll go to a couple places. I'm so glad to fellowship in the mystery of Christ. Amen. Okay, Mark 3. His family, was it his, let's see, 3:31, Mark 3:31. Could I get the iPad here too? Thanks. Mark 3:30, there came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without sent unto him, calling him. So they were outside of the circle, his mother and brethren, in that manila folder too, thanks. And they and the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, behold, your mother and your brethren without seek for you. And he answered them, saying, who is my mother or my brethren? Who is my mother or my sisters and brothers? Who are? And he looked around about on them which sat about him and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. Behold, my mother and my brethren. So if I had you stand up and just do this with your arm around this room and say, behold, my mother and my sisters and my brothers, it wouldn't be wrong. You are my mother, my brothers, my sisters. Why do we say this? Because he said, verse 35, whoever will do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. Family. There's a new family, isn't there? A new family. So I had Pastor Steve and Jen, myself, I asked them to say, give reasons why children and teenagers should come to church. So these are all, we all gave some, and this is a list. In our family, I mean, we had one. It was family time together. Sometimes going home after church, we heard Dr. Stevens and heard a great message, go home. We'd grab an ice cream, you know, those little 25-cent sandwiches out of the 7-Eleven. We find the cheap, and we pull in, and everybody gets it's time spent in the presence of God. Even if a teenager is not comprehending everything, they experience the Spirit of God in the congregation. They are in the body of Christ. Different people have a portion for them, an encouraging word. Kids have role models and mentors. I remember Justin saying, you know, Barry Quirk, he's my buddy, Barry Quirk. He is my buddy, and Angela Knowles, and different ones in our family. And we had that as our teenagers were growing up. They need to be led to see the importance of the pastor and the pulpit. They need to see others worship and learn to worship with others like we are worshiping, and teenagers need to see that. It helps teens see that they are part of something bigger than themselves and bigger than their families, bigger than their circle of friends, bigger than the youth group. They learn to relate to people different It's better use of their time than TV, Spotify, video games, and sports. It encourages older ones to see the coming generation in the church. Their energy, if focused in attention, helps the atmosphere in the assembly. They may learn what it means to participate in missions, in prayer, and vision. The parents can see they're not in this alone. They see there is a team that can help them with their family. They will be with adults who see them and are led to pray for them, like an adult could see a teen and say, in my heart, there's a teenager, I'm going to pray for them. It's beautiful. Teens can learn to talk to adults. They can learn to minister to younger children. Teens can meet missionaries and other faith heroes. They can fellowship in a demographic variety, like people that are different, like us. We're all different, but we are in the family. They can be corrected from the pulpit. They can have family time with mom and dad in the car to church and back. They can talk about the message on the way home. They can observe, this is a good one, they can observe motivated, loving people that are committed. They can discover what it is normal in God's family. Maybe in their family, there is some abnormality, but in our family, this is normal. Maybe this is the only message that contradicts the culture that they hear every day. They might say what the culture is saying is normal, and the church is not normal. We say this is normal, and the culture is, what it is. Train up a child in the way he will go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. When children are teens, there is a window of opportunity. This is a good one. That there are teens. There's a period of time when I can be with them that will not happen when they're 20 or 25 years old. I miss the opportunity. One parent said to me when their young adult was in trouble, I said, you shot all your bullets. You did everything you could. You were teaching them and training them, but now they are gone. What can you do? You did your best. But what about a family who is not bringing their teen? They are not in the church. The family that is the teenager is not there. Well, that happens. And that's why I'm saying these things, just to encourage us. So they can get answers for their questions they may not discuss with their parents. Like maybe a teenager will not say to the parent, what is the meaning of life? But when they're in the church, it might be the Holy Spirit will say to them, what is the meaning of life? And it might be coming from the Bible. Yeah, we hope so. They can be loved unconditionally. For those whose family life is not what it could be, they can learn healthy relationships in the body. God adds fathers, mothers, aunts, uncles in the body so they do not feel the lack. The body can be a covering for those who need it most. The word is spoken which never returns void. The Holy Spirit can bring it back to their remembrance. If our children do not go to church, what are the long-term results? Will they marry an unbeliever? Will their children know the Lord? We insist that they eat and sleep well for the health of their bodies. Shouldn't we care about their souls? Because I said so. And because Father knows best. And because when Mom's happy, everybody's happy. We'll have a message tonight, and right now we'll take the offering and listen to a song. So, Lord, we pray you would bless the message tonight that follows in your name. We pray, and everyone that came here while tonight We want to see Jesus. We are here, God. We are your family. We want to see Jesus. Lord, in your name, bless us tonight. In Christ's name, Jesus' name. Lord, even heal a body, even speak to a parent, a teen, a young person. Minister to us, Lord, and around the world. We are so honored to be in your presence. Minister out of your word, God, to us, in Jesus' name. Okay, two portions, Deuteronomy 11. This is the reason why I'm sharing it, because for a couple weeks, this verse has come back to my heart, and I just feel like, in observing in the body and wanting to say a few things. So Deuteronomy 11, and how many of us as families, we have funny stories and events because mom and dad are following God and the kids are coming along. And as teenagers too, they're coming along. And I want to say the youth group does a great job with Pastor Love and Pastor Pete and the team. Many people, Sturge, just the ladies, Jamie, a lot of camp life people. We had it amazing. But I also, I just want to say that the parents, and long over a period of time, you and I have to believe there's more than just what you see. There's what has happened. I'll read Deuteronomy 11 in verse 18. Therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. This is the word of God. And you shall teach them, your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house. Now, you might say, I send my child to Christian day school. Yes, that's a great thing. I totally believe in that, absolutely, as much as possible. But then this says, speaking of them in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. That's four different positions, isn't it? You sit, you walk, you lie down, and you rise up. It's basically through your conscious day you are sharing and teaching, and you shall write them upon the doorposts of your house. That's like a poster, you know, in the kitchen or the bathroom or a scripture or, you know, something that is for the memory. And that's how God wanted the Jews to live. So there are Orthodox Jews that do that, and they learn the scripture. They have their Shabbat, Friday dinners. The family comes around the table. It's all very, sacred, and they have their tradition. Remembering we came out of Egypt. Remembering what God has said. So this is in our lives also. Now comes John 8 and this story and. This is the main thing, you know. It's about Jesus. Can we see Jesus? Do we see Jesus, you know? When do we see Jesus? When does a teenager see Jesus? When does an adult see Jesus? And what do they see when they see Jesus? So the story goes this way. Verse 1, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him. And he sat down and he taught them. So he's at the temple, probably Solomon's portico, where the rabbis could sit with their people, and probably hundreds of people were there listening as he taught them. He wasn't shy, he wasn't withdrawn, he wasn't afraid. He was in Jerusalem, in a religious center, in a very public place out teaching. But there's going to be something happening here that nobody has seen before. Verse 3, the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. When they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. It means Jesus would not listen if it was hearsay or gossip. There had to be two witnesses at least. So they are saying this woman is guilty in the very act. There are witnesses. It is sure she is guilty of adultery. Verse 5. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What sayest thou? Now this is what I mean about going to church. When you go to church and Jesus is there, you can say, "What this is really happens to us. That was awesome. That was a good meeting. That was nice to be with my brothers and sisters. I saw, or I'm thinking about it, or there's something that if the Holy Spirit is with us and he's our teacher, and we want to see Jesus." And in this story, they couldn't have imagined. They were catching him. They were catching him. And actually, to be honest, some people go to church with this idea. Just catch him, or show the church is wrong. Or that Jesus, see, I told you it was boring. You know, see, I told you it didn't mean anything. See, there's nothing there. That's how it can be. And the question is, that's not what I believe. I believe Jesus is here. He is here. And that's not, you can't put him in a box. If you test him, you can't. He's going to surprise you. You could say some young man who goes to GGCA through the whole program, graduates, comes to Bible College, MBCNS, and goes through and his whole life has been here on the plaza. That you could say that you know, that guy, you know, we say, oh no, ask that guy, has he found Jesus? Is Jesus fresh? Is Jesus speak to you? Is Jesus real? Has he refreshed you? Ask Pastor Dennis White. Or more recently, Zane, or Nick Plunkett, who works for us here, and so on. And many people. Like, I am saying that teenagers don't know what actually they are to look for, and they might not be able to recognize when they see it, but there's something that God gives us that we see in this story. And they are pushing to show, Jesus, you are no different from any other rabbi, because Moses said to stone her, and you are forced to say, stone her. You have no option. if you live by the law of Moses. But here comes the mystery. Here comes the mystery. And this is the story. You don't know me. You don't know my Father. You don't know the Word of God. You are dangerous people. You actually cut it down. You destroy people. Your religion destroys people. It removes them from their capacity for God. Your religion is dead. Your religion is empty. Your religion is legalistic. Your religion hates people. Your religion is not the answer. And when a young person or any of us discover Jesus Christ, it moves us. It happened in the Gospels. It moved them. Bailey Norman said it on the deck this past summer, and this is what he said. I understood it this way. He said, I was just in the pastor's meeting down at the Fellowship Hall. I grew up here. I grew up in this church, my parents. I came to this church. I went to this Bible school. I ate in that Fellowship Hall like every day through the school year. And now I'm standing in it with all these pastors, and I see something. I see something, and I'm in shock at what I see, what this means, what I see. It's kind of like I understand. Because naturally, all of us can have our church in a box. No, we can have our lives in a box. And people need, teenagers need an adventure. They need a living faith. They need to discover the person of God. God is fun. God is wise. God is gracious. God is powerful. God answers prayer. God makes disciples. God sends you to Russia. He sends you to China. He sends you to the inner city. He opens your mouth. It's fun. It's wise. God sits with you in your house. God wakes you up in the morning in your bedroom. God is God. So this is how the story goes. Verse 5. And now 6. This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. Aha, we caught you. We got you now. You are under our influence. You have to agree with us that she is to be stoned. But Jesus stooped down. The body of Christ has something the world doesn't have. It has Christ. The body of Christ has something. The world is starving. The body of Christ has what they need. What do they need? They need love and truth, and something in the heart. They need some fire, some motivation. They need some freshness. They need forgiveness. They need understanding. They need something that comes to their heart in a fellowship, in a quiet talk, out of the box. Wow. I visited Charles Hadley at his barber shop the other day. Just so proud of him and the Lord. Maybe I shouldn't be saying that, but I don't mean to embarrass him, but I love it when people are, they have enough faith to say, I can live beyond myself. I can live beyond greater grace. I can live beyond my family or live beyond my failure. Not that he's failed. I don't know anything about that, but I'm saying it is. Not about him, but in the Lord. Anyone that picks up and goes on, falls down, Proverbs says, falls down 7 times. Anyone, and I'm not saying he, you know what I mean. I shouldn't have said his name. But anyway, hey, I'm thankful. Anyone who has an understanding of God that's bigger than the flesh of man. Come on. I'm crazy for the Lord. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus is saying, ooh, he's got it under control. Okay, Moses said to stone her because of adultery. Okay, I'm wiser than you guys. I'm on top of it. I'm the answer. I'm what every teenager needs. I'm what everybody that has ever been made in my image. I'm the answer for every life. I'm the answer for every guilty person. I'm the answer for every person who struggles with life and addictions and fears and everything. I'm what you need. I am what you need. Walk by faith in me. We come to the church, we come by faith. What do we see? Jesus stooped down with his finger, wrote in the ground as though he heard them not. Thank you, Jesus. Don't listen to those people. Don't listen to me either. Have you ever wondered how silent God is? Thank you, God, that you don't talk back to us with our foolishness. Just ignore it. We are so full. Job said, I've spoken, I put my hand in my mouth. Jesus is not talking to these guys until he's ready. Verse 7. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said to them, yeah, can you see the energy in their question? Yeah, answer us. And the one next to him, yeah, answer us. You know, yeah, answer us. I've been in that group. I've been on both ends of it. Yeah, answer us. Yeah, come on, answer. Why don't you defend yourself? What's your problem? I had a phone call from Europe way back in our church split, and one pastor who was very disappointed with me said to me, why don't you defend yourself? I said, I don't know why. I'm not used to that. I was never trained to defend myself. It's not that important. You either believe me or not. I'm a bad person or not. It's up to you. It's your call. I'm not defending myself. Because, you know, if you defend yourself, you win half of them. If you don't defend yourself, you win half of them. So why not save your energy, not defend yourself? So this is it. Okay, verse 7. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said, he that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. That, I would like to say, that's like the body of Christ. It's above. There's wisdom in it. There's love in it. Like, if you are throwing stones, then go ahead, throw a stone. If you're without sin, throw a stone. But if you're with sin, don't throw a stone. I mean, if you have sinned, don't throw a stone. In the body of Christ, it's like this. We're not stone throwers. We are wanting to be submitted to him who is wiser than us and find a solution. And when a teenager is going through his growing periods and he's learning accountability and submission and counsel, and he can hang out with dad or with mom on the way to church or the way back from church, it's not the youth pastor, it's dad, it's mom. It's not the youth ministry, it's dad, it's mom, it's the church, it's the pulpit, it's the pastor. It's the manifestation of God in the assembly. And they may come home and say, Dad, I think God is speaking to my heart. Maybe I want to do something for him. Or, Mom, I'm really angry. I'm angry. I remember back in the days, I remember getting a call, and there was a lot of chatter, a lot of talking, a lot of difficult times for our family. But I never spoke against the church. Even if the church is wrong in my mind or there's some, I never sowed those seeds in my kids. The church is not wrong. I never taught that. I never said that to my kids. Because faith is precious. The church is precious. the understanding of praying for each other, the understanding of forgiving one another, the understanding of going beyond ourselves and looking to God. And this is an important lesson for parenting. And I just felt like saying it someday. And tonight I just, you know, decided to do this. And I think it speaks to our hearts. It's a lesson for us as families. And to those that don't have kids, man, you are blessed people. You are blessed people. And kids are awesome. And man, sometimes it's amazing when God gives them and you can have more of them. I'm all about it. I love big families. I think big families are awesome. When you're going to have a big family, if God gives a big family, then they are awesome. And I love that idea. But that's not my point. I just threw it in there. And we'll finish up in a minute as we... And so what happened here? They heard it being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one. There is something in the Holy Spirit, in the body, where we are spirit taught. Not only Bible taught, but the Spirit speaks to you. Do you know, somebody said to me, and one of the messages, they said, you know, when you said this, this is what I was thinking. I was thinking, wow, I didn't say that at all, but they were thinking, and I thought, the Spirit was speaking to you. You were not daydreaming, but the Spirit was speaking to you and teaching you. I really believe that the Spirit teaches us things that maybe is not being said by me, literally, but the Spirit is speaking to your heart and guiding you in your life because you are in the body of Christ, submitted to Him. And He has baptized us into it and is our teacher. So the woman was standing in the midst. This is fun. The woman was standing in the midst. This is fun. When a teenager at the church sees this happening, she's standing in the midst. And he says, you are free. Go and sin no more. When a person sees that, you are free. Go and sin no more. As many of you know, I've been a missionary and with teams and different through the years in Europe, and sometimes we would have a weaker body member on our team. More than once, actually a number of times, after a couple of years, that I would say to a Finnish person, "Why are you here?" They said, "Because that person who is on your team." That spoke to my heart, that if you can have them on your team, then I belong in this place. If you have love for that person who's a little different, and they fit here, and they are a member of the team, then maybe I could survive in this church. Isn't that amazing? Yes. What does it mean? People whose hearts are after God. It's not us. It's the Lord is in our midst. And weaker body members are precious in the body of Christ. And love is what people need to see. Love. Not tearing down. Not criticism. Not judging. Not hard, cold. No. Love. And this is our family. And Jesus said, who is my family? But they that hear the word of God and they obey it. And then my Spirit will bless them. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, thank you for what I believe is the reality of this message. We don't fit in any of the boxes in the world. A religious box, we don't fit. In a secular box, we do not fit. In a box of guilt and fear, we do not fit. In a box of stagnation we do not fit. We are in the living, moving, growing body of Christ as members in particular. Thank you for the message tonight, and bless our families and use it to instruct every family in guiding and leading their children and teenagers and young adults. Thank you for these great examples and what you have given into our hearts. Someone listening, not a believer, come and get your questions answered. Beyond that, go by faith to God. God will answer you, help you, and show himself to you. And you will grow in the faith personally. Anyone in the auditorium saying a prayer to Jesus, saying, Jesus, save me tonight. Anyone, put up your hand. Anyone at all, just put up your hand. And the ushers will give you a booklet. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Would you all stand with me?